Welcome, everyone, gentlemen and gentle ladies. Really glad to be here. In case it's not obvious, I'm Allison Armstrong, and tonight is an introduction to our Queen's Code Challenge workshop, The Secrets of Understanding Women. And just to tell you the plan right off, since we have a lot of men with us tonight, and I'm thrilled about that. As you probably already know, this is a co-ed workshop. And so the plan for tonight is just for me to tell you first, why is it called the Queen's Code Challenge, and what kind of challenge is that for men, and what kind of challenge is that for women. And then I'm going to give you sort of an encapsulated version of what I see to be the biggest challenge in understanding women. And then, as promised in our email, I'm going to talk about the three things that we specified there. So why it's a bad idea for hunters and gatherers to try to go shopping together, and what is it that men do that really ticks women off, and hopefully give you some insight into that. And then last but not least, talk about the oxytocin account and effect that that has on women's well-being. And then I will give you a promotional code so that you can get a free bonus, a gift of the Appreciation Equation teleclass download if you choose to register into one of the Queen's Code Challenge Understanding Women workshops. And I happen to be leading it quite a few times in the next 9 months or so. And then I probably, the plan is for me to not be leading it anymore after that. So I will be leading it in Los Angeles in June, and in Dallas in August, and in September in New York, and in February in Honolulu, if it matters to you to do the workshop with me. I am training Adrienne Dworak to take my place in leading this workshop. She has a lot of experience in leading to men and women. She's been doing that for a couple of years now in Dallas, and I'm really excited about her taking my place to do that. So let's dive right in. Oh, and then after I give you the promotional code, then I'll take your questions. So I'm going to try to leave a lot of time for that because I love taking your questions. So let me dive right in with why is it called the Queen's Code Challenge and why is it a different challenge for men and for women. So I think men are well aware that understanding women is a challenge. And it's especially a challenge for several reasons. One is because, as what I would call an estrogen-based organism, we simply don't function the same way as a testosterone-based organism. We don't think the same. We don't process information the same. We don't even take in information the same way. We don't have our feelings in the same part of our body. We have a completely different relationship to our feelings than the masculine does. And we have a completely different experience of ourselves physically, and we basically don't even talk for the same reasons. So understanding women is a huge challenge for men because we're not just the opposite sex, but we're an opposing sex. So our organization opposes the organization of a testosterone-based human being. And this is the source of so many conflicts between men and women. Now, it's also a challenge to understand women because there's not just one of us, if you will. So as an example, if you think about yourself as a morning person or a nighttime person, just for each one of us, men and women, you're at least two people. So you're a different person in the morning or in the night, depending on what time of day you really come alive. And it might be in the middle of the day that you really come alive. And the people who interact with you a lot, they have to learn. They have to learn what are the times of the day when certain kinds of conversations and interactions will go well, and when is it going to go really badly. And it's taken me a while to figure out. I should not attempt to have any conversation of significance with my husband Greg after about 9 o'clock at night. It's just going to be really, really not a good thing, because he's like a completely different person. His capacities, if you will, are completely different. His patience, his generosity, all the things I love about him, most of them disappear at 9 o'clock or right around there. So just for any human being, you're dealing with at least two different versions of them. And then if you add in the ability for a woman to shift from the masculine to the feminine, and it's a mental shift, it's a physical shift, it's a priority shift, it changes the way we relate to our feelings, the way we think, what we're paying attention to, it's huge. And so what works when we're in the feminine is annoying to us when we're in the masculine. And what works for us when we're in the masculine really hurts us and puts us off when we're in a feminine mode. And we literally can switch back and forth between masculine and feminine very quickly. It doesn't take a lot of transition for us. So that's a brief outline of why understanding women is such a challenge. And what we try to do in the workshop is actually make sense of it, to make sense of what is motivating us when we're in those different modes, what are we paying attention to, how is our mind working, what's our relationship to our feelings, what's the difference, for example, between hurting our feelings and really ticking us off. And how can you tell? How can you tell if you hurt my feelings or if you made me really mad, or both? And then based upon being able to tell which one it is, what do you do? So these are the things that we keep breaking down in the workshop so that we don't take men so much by surprise. The idea being, if you can see us coming, if you can see what's happening and know what to do about it, then you can actually cause us to be a better version of ourselves. So you're not just at the mercy of which woman are you getting now. You actually can have something to do with what woman are you getting now. Is it the one that you're trying to escape, or is it the one that you want to spend the rest of your life with because she's so wonderful, so nurturing, so delightful, so life-giving? How do you cause more of what you want and less than what you don't want? All right, so that's a brief kind of summation of the challenge of understanding women for men. Now, it's also a challenge for women. And many men come to the workshop assuming that the women already know what we're going to teach you, and they don't. And it's called the Queen's Code Challenge because it relates back to the heart of our work, which is the Queen's Code. And what we mean by the Queen's Code is twofold. We mean secret code, like what are we blind to? What don't we understand? What's mystifying to us? And if we can decode that, if we can understand it, if we can make it plain, if we can deal with it head on, how might that transform our lives and the results that we can have? But it's also a code as in a code of honor. And one of the things that we invite women into, beginning with the first workshop, the Queen's Code Workshop, and with the Queen's Code book, what we invite women into is a code of honor for women, that we have an ability to do the right thing. We have the ability to do the right thing no matter how we're antagonized, no matter how our instincts are antagonized, our fears are antagonized, our feelings are antagonized, and our relationship with our feelings. So the Queen's Code is really about inviting women into a code of honor and a code of behavior towards men and women that is the possibility of partnership, that's the context of partnership, the practice of partnership, instead of the things that we do in an adversarial relationship, the ways that we hurt each other, the ways that we disempower each other. And so the title, The Queen's Code Challenge, is really that the biggest challenge to a woman behaving with honor and consistent with her own standards, consistent with her own values, consistent with her own definition of what it means to be a good person, a good woman, that her biggest challenge to do that is going to be her own instincts. That the way that she is put together in order to survive, what we call human animal, and for the female, what we call the cave woman, that the cave woman within is her greatest enemy. That's probably a strong word because we'd really like to partner with our cave woman. So the cave woman within is our biggest challenge. And she will occur like an enemy. She will defeat us in our commitment to being great women as long as we don't understand what sets her off, what our instincts are reacting to and why. Because, well, as all men know, one of the things women are famous for is taking everything personally. And we live in a society that also takes everything personally, that assigns the reasons that we do things to our individuality, to our history, to our injuries, to our birth order and our sun sign, and where we grew up, and what kind of how we were enculturated. So it assigns us to like a whole set of individual experiences that that's why we do things. And that can, you know, can be valuable in some contexts, but it can also be a trap. Because if a woman thinks that what she's doing is personal to her, that she's doing it because of something about her as an individual, honestly, guys, there are things that happen to us in our experience of being women that when we think it's an individual experience, we think it means that we're crazy. It's so confusing to us. It's so beyond understanding, even to us, that we can think that there's something seriously wrong with us, because we don't know that it is an individual. We don't know that it has to do with being a woman. And that's one of the biggest benefits of the Queen's Code Challenge, is to take on the challenge of understanding yourself and what will drive you when you're not making conscious choices, and understanding how much we're not making conscious choices. So one of the biggest results that we see of the Queen's Code Challenge Understanding Women workshop is a sense of peace, a sense of compassion and acceptance for ourselves, and then being in that place where we know how better to bring out the best in ourselves and to avoid bringing out the worst. And that when we've managed to bring out the worst or someone else has, that we know what to do. We can tell them what to do, how to help us. So that's the reason for the names, and that's what it is that we're working on and what we're working towards in this workshop. And I love this workshop. I love this workshop more than any other for many, many years, because I'm all about partnership. And I love watching the men and women who come to the workshop together, whether they're couples or fathers and daughters, mothers and sons, brothers and sisters, business partners. I love watching what becomes possible for them, because as you understand what brings out the worst in women, there's a healing, there's a forgiveness, and there's an empowerment to make a different future, which gives a whole lot more confidence. Let me get into, that's my overview, and let me get into what we promise to you when we advertise this telephone call. I promised that I would talk about three different areas, and I would give away pieces. So the first thing that it says in the email is why hunters and gatherers should not try to shop together. So in the Queen's Code Challenge, what I'm always trying to do is make sense of why we do what we do, and break things down into actionable parts. And one of the ways that I've been able to make sense of the masculine and the feminine is by looking at us in terms of hunters or gatherers. Anthropologists usually describe human beings as hunters and gatherers, and they kind of mush it together as if everybody does both things. And what we've noticed is that people identify quite strongly with being a hunter or a gatherer, and that we actually have been able to distinguish different ways of thinking, speaking, listening, processing information, experiencing support, being frustrated or overwhelmed, relationship to details, for example. We've been able to sort these out by looking at us in terms of hunters and gatherers. And I'll come back to that some more when we talk about oxytocin. So if you think about a hunter, the hunter's mind is focused. We call it single focus. And it's focused on a particular goal, a particular result. There's always a result in mind. And so if a hunter is going to go to a store, he's going to go to a store to get something. I need a pair of shoes. I'll be back in an hour. I need a pair of pants. I'll be back whenever. I need a saw. I need a piece of plumbing. There's a very specific mission that's being fulfilled by the hunter. Now, on the other hand, the gatherer has a very different mind. And in the workshop, we go into at length the experience of having what we would call diffuse awareness. And diffuse means to pour in every direction. And estrogen does this to the brain. So where testosterone creates compartmentalization, estrogen creates connection. No compartments. Everything is connected. And this is really useful. It makes sense if you look at it from the point of view of a gatherer, that the gatherer is walking into the meadow and can't have tunnel vision, can't just be looking for, hunting one thing in the meadow. Historically, the gatherer would have children with her. Historically, the gatherer would need to keep her awareness of other gatherers because that's part of their safety. But every trip to the meadow, there may be something in particular that she wants to get, but as a conservation of energy, which survival is all about the conservation of energy, she's also going to be looking for what else is possible, what else is available. So shopping for the gatherer, whether it's back in the meadow or it's in the meadows today, the malls and the department stores, it's a matter of being open to different possibilities, seeing what's useful, what's beautiful, what's medicinal, and even what's harmful, what's to be avoided. So there's the opposite of a focus or a tunnel vision. There's an expansive awareness that's taking in all these potentials, and even potentials for later. So things that are ripe now, things that should be harvested now, and things that will be ripe later. So we talk about this in the Queen's Code Challenge about the effects that that has on the on female memory and details, which I won't go into now. But in response to what I stated here, you can probably already make the connection of why hunters and gatherers should not go shopping together. They shouldn't try to shop together because they have completely opposite purposes. The hunter is going to be there to get one thing, eliminating all the alternatives, and the gatherer is going to be there open to all the alternatives. So a classic example is a man a man says, you know, I'm going to go to the mall. I need a pair of shoes. And the gatherer woman says, oh, I'll go with you. Now, there's a reason why she says, I'll go with you. One of the reasons being the difference in ways in which the feminine experiences support. So one form of support for the feminine is pleasant company. So you don't have to do anything. Just be pleasant company. And so she may go along to be pleasant company. That may be her attention. You know, I'll keep you company. But once she gets to the meadow, her gatherer thinking is taking over. And, you know, he's looking for shoes, and she's saying, oh, look at this sweater. This will look great on you. Or, oh, these pants will go with that those shoes. I don't need pants. I just need shoes. So the gatherer can really frustrate the hunter because she's not there to produce the result he's there to produce with the minimal amount of time, money, and energy. She's there open to all these possibilities. Now, on the other hand, the hunter can seem like a real buzzkill to the gatherer. Like, he's just so suppressive. He's so controlling. He keeps saying, no, I don't want to do that now. No, we're not here for that. Those aren't shoes. And she's like, boop, 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 boop. And she, you know, sees something sparkly or shiny or something that she didn't even know she could want until she saw it, and suddenly she needs it. And to him, it's all just a waste of time and energy. And I get a big kick out of when I go to the mall, which where I live, the mall is about 85 miles away. But they're really smart. They have a lot of couches, and they have a lot of chairs outside of dressing rooms. And I see men, a lot of them with cowboy hats and cowboy boots on, just sitting there outside of a dressing room in the ladies' department, completely bored and resigned. And it happens a lot around here because it's so rural that the hunters and gatherers have to make a trek together into town to get their things. And so we're thrown into these situations together when we might have been able to avoid it if we lived closer to our meadows. So that's why hunters and gatherers should not try to shop together. They're at cross purposes. Once again, opposite sexes, opposing instincts. All right, next we have is what really ticks women off and how men do it without even thinking. And you might have noticed that I actually referred to it. It's what we would call the veto. And so she's saying, oh, you should try on these pants. No. Oh, look, we should get one of those. No. Honey, it's Friday night. Let's go to the movies. No. It's a knee-jerk reaction on the part of the masculine. And most men don't even notice they're doing it because it's instinctive on their part. It's not a conscious choice. It's out of the instinct to protect. And the instinct to protect time, to protect energy, and to protect resources. So the Friday night, right? The Friday night, let's go to the movies. No. Right? He's protecting probably his recovery from his work week, his need to not be out amongst a lot of people, just hole up in the cave and recover. But there's also in the instinct to protect one's energy in the masculine is also the instinct, which is often it's often declared as there's no point in stating the obvious. So that's how it's articulated. There's no point in stating the obvious. So when the masculine vetoes the feminine, no. The reason for that veto, the rationale for the veto, the very good reason behind the veto is obvious to the masculine. And he or she, because women obviously can be in the masculine and be protecting something, he or she doesn't see why they should spend any energy stating the reason for that, because to them the reason for that is obvious. It's clear why they wouldn't want to do that. So the hunter's not saying, no, no, honey, I'd love to take you to the movies, but I'm really tired and everybody's at the movies right now and I don't want to get into Friday traffic. But how about a counteroffer? I could take you to the movies tomorrow. And that's one of the things that the masculine doesn't think to do, because the masculine is focused, the hunter's focused. A counteroffer would be another possibility. It would be another option, which the feminine is open to all kinds of options. So to us, counteroffers are just natural. We don't have to think about counteroffers. We're experts at counteroffers. Not tonight, honey. How about tomorrow? How many times have we said that or needed to say that? Right? Not right now. How about later? We are always looking for other possibilities, and so counteroffers just roll off our tongues without us thinking about it. So when the masculine just says no and doesn't offer an explanation, well, first of all, what am I, a second-class citizen? I don't even deserve an explanation. And the masculine says no and doesn't make a counteroffer, well, then you're just rejecting me. You're just plain rejecting me. You don't care about me. You don't want to be with me. I want to be with you. Why do I always have to come chasing after you, try to spend time with you? I love you more than you love me. Life is over. just because we don't know that counteroffers aren't normal for the masculine, because they fit with the estrogen brain. So, and then obviously the last reaction, which I had many times before I discovered the veto and that the veto is always about protecting something, is when we're vetoed, it makes us feel like a second-class citizen. Like you're the boss and you're in charge of everything and we don't have a say. And I remember shouting at Greg's back, you know, why is your no bigger than my yes? And another time, who made you the executive branch? My U.S. government history teacher would have been really proud of me. We don't understand. We don't understand these opposing instincts, these opposing ways of thinking, and we take it personally. We think it's just him rejecting me. And then we don't react very well to rejection. I haven't seen any human take rejection very well, male or female. But it's so sad because when we get vetoed, we'll start accusing the person who vetoed us of all kinds of things that seem perfectly true to us. There could be no other explanation. But to the person who vetoed us, it's shocking. They're stunned. Like, what do you mean I don't care about you? What do you mean I don't want to be with you? What do you mean I think you're a second-class citizen? That's not true. Like, none of it rings true. Yet, to a woman, it is true. And then we just end up in this in this locking of horns and hurts and insult and disrespect. And we think it's, you know, because we're both Leos, or we're both firstborn, or we're both alphas, or whatever. We assign it to some kind of reason other than we're male and female, we're hunters and gatherers, we have opposing instincts. And the whole point, you know, what we're doing here is that once we can understand the nature of that opposition, then what it makes possible are just these slight adjustments. This is teeny tiny adjustments, and then those opposing instincts become complementary instincts. And that's what's really exciting to me, because now partnership is possible. Okay, let me go to the third one, and we're rocking and rolling here, so I should be able to answer a bunch of questions, which is way exciting to me. So let me capture exactly how we wrote it, because I want to me these are always a promise. So the importance of the oxytocin account to woman's sense of well-being and sexual interest. Okay, so the oxytocin account is a term that I made up after a conversation with John Gray, who you may be familiar, wrote The Men are from Mars and Women are from Venus. And John Gray really carved out this field and made room for what I'm committed to. And he's someone that I enjoy and appreciate a great deal. And he was teaching a group of us about the ways that hormones have build and spend cycles. And he was talking about testosterone primarily at the time, and what builds testosterone in a man and what spends testosterone in a man, and what happens when he's prepared to spend testosterone and he doesn't get to. And it was a truly illuminating conversation, and it's something that we talk about in a Hero's Challenge and in the Queen's Code workshop, because women can frustrate the build and spend cycle in men, and men can fail to honor their own build and spend cycle. So after John was talking about this, he and I had a private conversation about oxytocin. And there's been so much research on oxytocin in the last 20 years. It's virtually impossible for me to keep up with. I used to be able to in the beginning. I don't even try now. I'm just trying to break it down to the things that I find the most useful. And that is that oxytocin also has a build and a spend cycle. And if you're familiar with oxytocin, they call it the bonding hormone. They also call it the care and tend hormone. And one of the biggest things that people don't know about oxytocin is that oxytocin is also the hormone that gives a woman the ability to have an orgasm. And many women struggle a lot with having orgasms, and they think there might be something physically wrong with them or psychologically wrong with them, or their technique isn't right. And often they just don't know that they lack sufficient oxytocin for that for their body to fulfill that physiological function. And the reason for this is that our lifestyles don't naturally build oxytocin anymore, because one of the things that builds oxytocin are the things that we did naturally as gatherers. So this ties back to this fundamental precept of the way that women in the feminine think and process information. It's also what we're doing as gatherers naturally builds the hormone of oxytocin. So shopping, actually going out into the meadow and seeing all those possibilities, builds oxytocin. And rhythmic hand motion. So the men always make a joke and crack me up at this point and make me blush. So in case you're thinking that, I'm getting ahead of you. not that I can tell that produces oxytocin, but if you think about a gatherer, okay? So think about a woman in the meadow, and what is she doing as she's gathering, right? So she could be picking the seed heads off of grasses, right? So she's collecting wheat or barley, for example. She's picking those seed heads off. or she's picking berries from bushes. So there's a rhythm, right? There's this rhythm in the way that she's gathering this food. There may even be a rhythm in the way that she's digging roots or picking fruit. And then if you think about the preparation of those grains, right, it might involve a process of separating, right? So there's a shaking in a basket, a rhythmic shaking in a basket, so that the pebbles fly out and the different weeds and trash fly out that's of a different weight, and so there's a rhythmic moving of those surfaces. There's a rhythmic grinding of the seed heads, for example, the grains themselves. There's a rhythmic grinding. If you fast forward to modern times, semi-modern times, so before the dishwasher, if a woman had the chance to, stand at her kitchen sink and look out the window at her garden or her children playing in the yard, and just to be rhythmically washing and rinsing the dishes. So there's one of the things you have to bring to your image or what you're imagining is plenty of time. So she's not quick rinsing them off and shoving the dishwasher and starting it because you've got to get out the door right now. That actually won't build testosterone, that won't build oxytocin. That's actually spending testosterone because she's in producer result mode. But if she's standing there at the sink just rhythmically doing the dishes, she's going to be building oxytocin. I recently took up crocheting, one of the purposes being to build oxytocin. So the rhythmic hand motions of crocheting builds oxytocin. I used to get really put off when people would bring their knitting or their crocheting to a workshop. Like, what, do they think I'm boring? And now I get all excited when I see them. I'm like, oh, yay, they're building oxytocin. I've also found that it helps me to concentrate. I'll crochet now when I'm on a call with somebody because it keeps my mind from wandering off. I can pay attention to the conversation when I'm doing something with my hands. I don't feel like I have to go multitask because I am multitasking, but it's in a very specific, concentrated way. I took up drawing. I love to draw, and just the rhythmic hand motion of taking the watercolor pencil across the page, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, filling something in, produces oxytocin. And so what does this have to do with well-being? Having plenty of oxytocin in our account gives us a sense of well-being. I colored once all the way from Colorado to New Jersey on an airplane, and I got off the plane with this amazing sense of well-being. I didn't have jet lag. I felt buoyed up, and it's because I was building oxytocin the whole time. So a woman's sense of well-being will have a lot to do with that she's built oxytocin, and then that laps over in this very beautiful way because her having plenty of oxytocin in her account, she's built it, then she can spend it freely. And it gets spent freely in the caring of other people and taking care of other people and attending to other people and her interest in other people and compassion for other people. So it naturally brings out those beautiful nurturing qualities that mean so much to both men and women to be on the other edge of a woman who has that. Now, the other thing that it does is it supports sexual interest, because when a woman is invited to participate in sex, or she even if she just has the thought on her own, like, wow, it's been a while since we have sex, we should have sex, right? She might think that, for example. What a woman does unconsciously, and it really, this is what I was telling John Gray about that he didn't know. When he told me about the build and spend, I just tapped into this thing that I could see was happening so quickly as to be missed, but suddenly I didn't miss it, right? I caught it. which is that when we think about having sex or when we're invited to have sex, what we do is we check our oxytocin account. So it's almost like somebody says, do you want to go out for dinner? And you check your bank balance to see, can you afford to do that? Only what we're checking is our oxytocin account, and we're checking to see, can we afford to have sex? So this is an interesting idea, but it's actually been backed up by a lot of research that when a woman is affectionate, like a hug, like a really good hug, it causes her to spend oxytocin. So just giving a hug has us spend oxytocin. Engaging in sex has us spend oxytocin. Having an orgasm has us expend a lot of oxytocin. So when there's that invitation or that thought about having sex, we unconsciously check the oxytocin account. And if there isn't enough oxytocin in the oxytocin account, it will give us a feeling of dread. We'll actually have a feeling of dread. And like, oh, please no, please don't. And the reason for that is because when we participate in sex, when we don't have enough oxytocin, and we're spending oxytocin when we don't have plenty, we actually end up in well-being debt. So we can end up having sex and end up, we can have sex and end up depressed, which is hard for most men to imagine. Like, sex is, to most men, sex is the most fun thing in the world to do. For some, they think of other things that are a little more fun. But for most men, it's just fun. Oh, my gosh, this is so fun. Plus, it's such this relief, and it's this connection, and how could sex be anything but good? And so they get really hurt when they propose sex to their partner, and that feeling of dread shows up on our face. They can't, our partners can't help but take that personally. But it's not personal. It's the result of checking the balance in the oxytocin account, and it was too low. And it's an emotional and visceral reaction, like a physical reaction of, ugh, like, please no, that comes from being broke. And so we don't have what it takes to participate in that. And then, as we'll talk about in the Queen's Code Challenge, this can be exacerbated by the need of our partner for us to have an orgasm, and that it's not okay just to have sex. We also have to have an orgasm, and he's not going to stop until we do. So he's not going to stop until we're deeply in debt, and no matter how many hours of sleep it may cost us. Or he's going to be really bummed and defeated and taking it personally, and then we'll feel bad that he feels bad, which is going to create another kind of debt. So that's the oxytocin account. All right. I feel like I did a really good job of that. So what I'm going to do now is let me tell you the promotional code for you to use to get the free gift that we have in mind for you. And we picked this especially because it makes such a difference between hunters and gatherers. So the code is QCCAA. So QCC as in Queen's Code Challenge, and then AA as in Alison Armstrong. And how you use this is if you go to understandmen.com, and you can either click on dates and locations or on workshops for women or men, or you can even click on See Alison Live if it matters you to do it with me. And any of those ways will get you to the dates of the Queen's Code Challenge Understanding Women workshops. And when you put, then you put that in your shopping cart, and you'll have the choice of either paying in full, which is $795, or using our payment plan, which is 7 payments of $117. And there's just a 3% administrative fee for our payment plans, and we're happy for you to use it. And then you also want to go to the products page and add the appreciation equation to your shopping cart. So it's called the appreciation equation. It's a teleclass that we recorded and is now available for download. It normally costs $49. And the appreciation equation distinguishes really what happens when men and women provide for each other and they don't experience being appreciated equal to or greater than what they provided, and how that can erode our romantic relationships, our families, our work, our experience at work, huge consequences for the appreciation equation not adding up. And then it further distinguishes another complication, which is that you may think that you're providing plenty of appreciation, but you're not providing it in the right currency. So you feel like you're giving a lot of appreciation, but the person on the other side isn't receiving a lot of appreciation because the way that you're providing, the way that you're expressing appreciation doesn't matter to them. So with the appreciation equation, there's a whole chart for you to be able to figure out what forms of appreciation matter the most to you, both professionally and personally. And you can use the chart also to look and see what forms of appreciation are hard for you to express. Like, it seems to cost you a lot to appreciate that way. And that can be really helpful, because if someone knows that their favorite form of appreciation is hard for you to provide, then it means even more to them when you provide it. And so this particular teleclass can clear up so many misunderstandings, so many difficulties and disconnects and really terribly hurt feelings for both men and women. And that's why I wanted you to have it. All right, so let me just give you the code again. It's QCCAA. And after you get to the checkout and you put the QCCAA in there, then the charge for the appreciation equation will be taken off. So at first it will look like you're paying for it, and then put the code in there and it will take it off and you'll get it for free. All right. Yes, 2 minutes early, I have arrived at question time. So that's a victory for me. So if you have a question for me about the workshop and what it provides, or if you'll get out of it what it is you're looking for, or if there's something that I said that you need a clarification about, you don't want to walk away confused, then please press 1 on your keypad. So if you'll press 1 on your keypad, it'll show up for me on my dashboard, and I can give you the microphone. So go ahead and press 1, and Wayne. Wayne, you have the microphone.
Thank you. I thought hugs built oxytocin for women and for men, a kind of cuddling kind of time.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, actually. A lot of the research on oxytocin is measuring oxytocin in the bloodstream. And when it's in the bloodstream is when it's being spent. So, So it's causing that bonding, it's causing that connection, but it's actually when it's being spent. And so this is why women need to engage in oxytocin building practices, just to be able to be affectionate. We can withdraw and not be able to be affectionate when we don't have enough in our account.
Can I ask, are there other ways to build it besides rhythmic activities?
Rhythmic hand motions, shopping. Sometimes, for a lot of women, it's also just time alone, quality time alone, where we get a rest. We get a rest from caring for others and paying attention to others. We just need a break from paying attention. because our brains, the female brain, is really built to pay attention. And so one of the things we talk about in the workshop is all the things that our brains pay attention to without us trying. Like it's harder for us to not pay attention than it is to pay attention. So to be in an environment that's what we would call quiet, which is something we'll define in the workshop, what makes an environment quiet for a woman, then that can help to restore us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great question. Yeah, that's something that I never understood before until I found out. A lot of the research on oxytocin is measuring blood levels, and that's bending, not building. So, Pauline, you have the microphone.
Great. What is there that I can do then to maintain a balance? If I have to take care of both my masculine and feminine, how can I help my boyfriend take care of both of his?
Both his masculine and his feminine?
Yeah.
Okay, so you just asked a hugely loaded question.
Yay. Sorry.
Hugely loaded question. Because there's taking care of your masculine, there's taking care of your feminine, and then there's taking care of his masculine and taking care of his feminine, which my experience of men is that their feminine seems to be a static percentage of their composition, and they'll express their feminine in a variety of ways throughout their life. And I think mostly to take care of a man's feminine is to appreciate those expressions, because it'll be some kind of, must be some form of beauty or enhancement to life. So it might be cooking or interior decorating or artwork or music, and he just needs them to be cherished and appreciated in that way. Other than that, I don't think we need to take care of men's feminine, kind of not before that. Taking care of men's masculine is what the entire Queen's Code curriculum is about. So I'm sorry, but I'm not even going to attempt to answer that question. The least expensive way to have that answered is to get the Queen's Code book, and it will be 94,000 words of how do you take care of the masculine in men.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, thanks. And then the masculine and the feminine in you, the really tricky part, Pauline, in our culture these days, because we have adopted masculine values, which is the value of results and productivity. And so so women, we're literally running ourselves ragged by having this voice in our head that idealizes productivity and is never satisfied with how much we've gotten done. And it's a victory of human spirit to actually say, I did enough today. I can stop now. I can stop producing and just take care of me, take time for me. I found myself rushing through the dishes a few days ago. I was just like trying to get them done as quickly as possible, and I just stop. This is an oxytocin building moment here that we're blowing. We're actually burning testosterone instead of building oxytocin. And I just had to pause and have this victory of human spirit where I just said consciously, I have plenty of time. And that's one of the things that we'll talk about in the Queen's Code Challenge, is how the idea of having plenty of time, the experience of having plenty of time, is our access to the feminine. And as soon as you rush a woman, she's now a man in a skirt. As soon as you put a deadline on a woman that seems too close, now she's going to lose all her feminine capacities, including enormous creativity. and just power through it. So that's one of the things that you can take care of both the masculine and the feminine is to realize that the masculine is all about producing results, and you'll produce more results if you can add the feminine to it, if you can bring the qualities of the feminine to your result producing. You'll have a better expanded perspective, for example, and better communication skills, and you'll be more gracious and patient and empowering of other people, so you'll do better on a team. So the masculine's way more productive in partnership with the feminine, and then how to take care of your feminine is give her plenty of time. Does that help?
That was amazing. Thank you.
You're really welcome. Thanks for such a loaded question. That was awesome. All right. Jimmy, you have the microphone.
Hi, Allison.
Hi.
One of the things I was wondering is why am I so much a gatherer, but I still have just a few hundred characteristics? And if so, can I have oxytocin myself? Probably not, right?
Actually, you can. And if you don't mind, Jimmy, would you tell me how old you are?
I'm 71.
You're 71. Well, there's the answer to your question. So what happens is as we get older, nature plays this really interesting trick on us that's actually consistent with not only the survival of the individual, but the survival of the tribe. And so as estrogen levels fall off, women's brains rewire and become more compartmentalized and more focused on producing results. And this would allow her, for example, if she was a widow, to be a better provider for herself. And for men, as testosterone levels fall off, the testosterone is what's responsible for the compartmentalization in the brain. And so those barriers come down. And what happens, and this, depending on the man, it begins somewhere in his 50s or 60s. What happens is parts of your brain now connect to other parts of your brain that were never linked together before. And what it does is it gives you access to your own wisdom. So if you think of the survival of the tribe, this means that just the fact that you have lived as long as you have means that you have tremendous knowledge and skills and wisdom to pass on to the other members of the tribe. And so to be able to articulate that well would be really important. And so that's literally what your brain has done, is giving you access to your own poetry and even your intuition. Your access to your own intuition will increase as you get older. And then on top of that, to answer completely your question, is that men and women both build and spend, interesting how my mouth put those together, men and women both build and spend oxytocin. So, for example, when a man has an orgasm, he spends oxytocin. When he shares a hug, he spends oxytocin. But the difference is that testosterone negates the effects of oxytocin, while estrogen exacerbates the effects. So as men get older and your testosterone levels fall off, you actually feel the effects of oxytocin more dearly than you would when you were younger. And this has an interesting impact on men because oxytocin, again, is the bonding hormone. It's the connection hormone. And so what we find in men is as you get older, what you get from sex and your motivation from sex changes, and it can become less a physical hunger and satisfaction or distraction and release, and it becomes more a craving for connection. So the effects of oxytocin, that feeling of being bonded that a man gets from sex, it can wear off. And it'll wear off in about 3 days, depending on the man. And so a man will have an impetus to initiate sex when the oxytocin is worn off and he wants to reconnect. And many men don't feel that until they get older, like in their 30s and then into their 40s and beyond. They don't feel that until the testosterone is levels are falling. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. Everything you say makes sense. I was wondering, are there any more at home like you?
Ah, thank you. Well, I'm trying all the time. That's what our mastery program is all about. I have no desire to be unique. I'm much more committed to the education getting out there. And if I might say this, Jimmy, we're out of time, but what I just described is what happens for a man as he gets older is what has me kind of tense up when men talk to me about testosterone supplements or testosterone mimics, right? I've met doctors who actually treat men with testosterone, and I can understand why they would want that, because testosterone gives such a sense of well-being and ambition and drive and energy, and I mean, it's an awesome hormone. But then I just think, wow, his whole community is not going to benefit by his wisdom. Like, we're never going to get access to a part of him that is going to be locked up. It's going to be locked up by the testosterone.
Luckily, I've outgrown that part.
Thank you. Thanks, Jimmy. All right, so I have run out of time, and I'm going to say good night, and thank you all for participating. It was fabulous to be with you, and there's something about co-ed that is especially juicy to me. It brings something out of me that is really special, and it's one of the reasons why I love this workshop. So I hope to see you there. And I think that's all. So I'm going to open the line so we can all say goodnight.